Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I'm an SMB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us with Talkcast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702 or search for Starfleet Universe On Call. And of course, we also co-broadcast over on the Twitch.tv. So to find us there, just go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. If you want to, you can join the chat room during the broadcast, which is I'm always keeping an eye out for. So please join us. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my account there is sfuoncall. And also a personal account, which is, just me being me, which is, Paul. The personal account is Paul Friends. And if obviously this warning that if you do not, I am a very avid Catholic and a suffering all O's fan. And of course, I love text. So any of those that bother you, then don't follow me. And of course, I have the Friends Games account, which you can keep an eye on. Follow me there if you just want to keep an eye on what's going on with SFB Online and Starfleet Warlord. I tell the announcements there, so it's actually very low key. And of course, this lovely Talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. Federation Empire Combined Operations 2021 is now available both in ebook and in physical form. So if you want to, you can go to either ADB's online store, or you can find it at your local game store. Obviously, since they just released it, you'd have to order it from them and hopefully get it in the big time. Obviously, if you can do that, you want a physical copy, please support your local stores and buy it from them. Even though it might take a little longer, I think that it would be worth your effort to make sure that that gaming store stays in business. Any little bit of business you can give them would be a great help, especially in this day of the pandemic. And of course, the complete expansion includes a rule book, 4 copies of the master, the counter sheet M, 1 copy of the counter sheet H, K, L, and T, and W, T, and U, and the 4 fleet charts. So let's give you a quick idea of what's going on there. Now, moving on to the SFB Online tournament, that is the Masters tournament, that's currently going on. There's still a new Sapphire Star tournament. It's still kind of quiet there. I'm not sure why, but it is. So we got the Masters tournament going on. We got the round one is completed with a round two just starting. And moving on to the SFU Online client. I did a quick fix this week for it, which was to fix the size of the X-Drones. I had some of them incorrect. I was corrected by one of the players, and I'm hoping to have that out probably next week. I didn't release it this week. Well, I didn't even release it last week because of it's only a single fix, and I really don't want to spend the time on doing that kind of fix, especially because it takes quite a few hours to get it all together, post it up, and all, do everything to get done. So, it just seems kind of silly for a single fix. So moving onward to the library, and I'm hate to tell you, I just a big surprise. I didn't have much chance this opportunity. Chance to do it this past weekend, because I was at the local convention here in Harrisburg, which is at the Gamers of Summer, which was always wonderful. I got to be with Doug Howard and also Barry. You guys know Barry. So he was there, and so we got to play a little bit of brass there. No Starfleet battles this time, but we wanted to try out the test X rules that he wanted to come up with this alternate rule. But that'd be kind of fun, just something a little different. It's just like playing. I think it was Companion Games had alternate empires, which, you know, of course, the problem is they then tried to sell it, which means it was no longer just a fan supported. It was now a production, and sequel then shut them down like you would nobody's business. But the FedCom library is still stuck at squadron-sized ships at 528 and fleet-sized ships of 422. I'm hoping to get some of that work on that this weekend, because it does take a little bit of time for me to do that. And with that, that is the news. Oops, I almost forgot. I didn't want to sign off on that until I mentioned real quick, which is that I will not be doing a podcast next week. I'm on vacation. I'm going to be out of town, so I won't be able to do a podcast. So in that case, you know, just take it easy, chill out, enjoy. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me. So yes, the one and only Paul Friends welcoming you to Star of the Universe On Call. And tonight, well, just got me, because I don't see anyone else around at the moment. I know Barry is not here. Barry's not here because I checked with him around 7 o'clock and he was still working. He got up at 4:30 in the morning. So to say the very least, I'm sure he's hopefully tucked away in his bed and sleeping very well at this moment in time. And I see that Dave's there. Dave's in the Twitch chat room for those of you at home that if you want to join us, you know, a good place is actually twitch.tv. There's, you know, just go to twitch.tv/SFU on call. Obviously, if you're listening to this later, you already kind of know that, because I kind of remind that in the news portion of the podcast every single week. And just a reminder for those people who don't listen to the podcast version, that is that next week there will be no podcast because I will be out of town. Jeez. Tampa Bay is beating Dallas late in the second quarter. Dang. Yeah. So no podcast next week. Take the night off. Take your sweetheart out to dinner, but it's like, yeah, depends. That could be sketch. But anyhow, moving onward and forward. Dave's here too. Dave's both places. You didn't actually log in. Okay, that is fine. You can do both. But anyway, okay. This past weekend, unfortunately, I didn't get to play any SFB at the Gamers of Summer in Harrisburg, which was quite nice. I actually enjoyed my time there. I got to play a couple of games of Brass against Barry and fellow gamers. Though that was the one thing that it was like 11:30 on Sunday. Yeah, it was Sunday, and most people were going to be showing up around 1 o'clock on Sunday. So I was like, okay, fine. You know, they asked me if I want to play Brass. And I went, we can get it done in an hour and a half. Yeah. Because between him and me, we both know how to play Brass quite well. Now, this is also Brass Lancashire, so that the rules are a little different. There are certain things that you know, you don't have the beer, you don't have all the kinds of other things that are in Birmingham, which honestly, I kind of like, I prefer Birmingham, but that's me. And that's one thing that I definitely appreciated when I went and I played some Brass, which is there are two different versions of Brass and they still produce both versions. And I think that actually is a very good thing because they are a similar experience, but not the same rules. There are some differences, you know. Birmingham it's a little more constrained. You have to do a lot more things to get what you want to get done, which I think is kind of nice. You know, it's more of a challenge. It takes a little more planning a little more, you know, a little more planning. That's the best way to describe it right there. And versus Lincolnshire, that one, it's more simple. There's still certain things that are available that, though, overall, you know, when Barry and I were playing, we didn't even think about using them just because of we were flying. And of course, I'm playing this and I shot myself in the foot on the first round, what's called the canal era. So, and I think that's where it really, really cost me. Ah. Whoa, that's surprising. Sorry. That's Dave is reporting on the game, the Tampa Bay versus Cowboys. And Tampa Bay is 14, Cowboys 13, because the Cowboys missed the extra point. That's interesting to me, just because of that is such a rare, rare thing that you ever see. But it happens. But anyway, moving forward. Now, one thing also I did was actually play a little Eve online. And, you know, Doug helped me to get that all set up. So, you know, we had Wi-Fi there, so I could set things up. I had an older laptop, which actually could play Eve, which was interesting. It was a 2012 MacBook Pro. Sorry, reverse that. Not MacBook Pro, MacBook Air. And actually, 13-inch MacBook Air, and it ran just fine. I think the important thing for it was it has 8 gigs of RAM. Yes, there were some delays, some glitches when it comes to, you know, pauses and things like that. That's because of it's underpowered. And that's understandable. You know, because I actually play on the computer here, which is a more modern Mac Mini. And it works quite a bit more. Dang, that thing's hot. So, anyhow, which actually the funny part about that is after playing it and had Doug describe some of Eve Online. And the thing is, Doug said something which was interesting to me. Okay. Anyhow. That's not like it started on Game on the Mac. There's certain things that I get frustrated with. I understand what developers want. Developers ain't going to get. You know, and so some of that is because of just plain and simple that the graphics card manufacturers will not, especially one NVIDIA, proprietary, they won't give the specs out to anybody. You know, it's kind of frustrating when it comes to those things. But anyhow, one thing, you know, that was mentioned to me, it's like, you know, I'm surprised that, you know, you weren't more interested in EVE Online and get really into it, because it's not like a lot like Starfleet Battles when it comes to, you know, combat and all that. It really is not. But, you know, because he's, you know, a lot of other SMB players have really, really enjoyed EVE Online. And the thing is, the funny part is, I got on EVE Online 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago, 2019. Got it all set up. Actually, because well, then finally actually set it up. Set up my account. Went through the initial tutorial. Here's your ship. This is how you make your ship go. This is how you move the ship. This is what you do. You know, after I went through that, I then updated the client for Eve, and at that point, it completely, you know, they broke. And in which case, I wasn't going to spend hours upon hours trying to fix a game which I just started to learn. Not really good. You know, I tried it a couple times, two or three times, never got it to work. So I finally deleted it, you know, never got back to it. Just reinstalled it, you know, on this machine here. this week, and it seems to be running fine. I got it installed. It's running on my the MacBook Air. I tried to install it on my M1 Mac. It installs, but it doesn't run. Even though, according to the wiki pages on Eve, it's supposed to run. So, it doesn't. So, you know, I've actually enjoyed it. Like I say, I played like an hour of it today. Actually, 45 minutes. Half an hour, 45 minutes. Because I was going through another one of the career agents, which is for exploration, because like that looked kind of fun. So I went, you know, let's do that. Now, the funny part about that one is that I started and go, they're not telling me what to do. They didn't. And that's fine. Okay, it's like, okay, so I have to figure this out myself. I start figuring it out myself. I actually figured out part of it, and I was correct. I finally gave up initially because I couldn't find what I was looking for. So I go to the Eve Online. There's a wiki. And they say, oh, this is what you got to do for this. It's like, oh, okay, cool. I did that. You know, and that helped me. I was the right arrow, you know, section, which is, okay, I need to bring up my sensors so that I can actually find what I'm looking for. And, you know, they say, well, you got to do that. And you bring up the sensor view. You got to do this. And then you look for this. It's like, oh, okay. So I look for that. Found it. Got it. Got everything. And I know I've got the second mission is lined up. I know I need to do it. And I looked at it and go, yeah, that's going to take me a good bit of time. So it's like, okay, I don't have enough time during my lunch to do that. So I was like, okay, fine. Put it away. You know, shut it all down. And, you know, so I'll probably play it some more this weekend. That's one thing I got to do. Is I have to go see Doug this weekend because then what did I do? I brought my Federation Commander cards. Put them behind the table. Forgot to bring them with me. I'm sorry. Forgot to bring them home. So now I have to go stop by Doug's place, which is in Harrisburg. And I should be able to do that this Saturday. So I'm going to go pick up my Federation Commander cards, which is kind of critical because without those, I don't have those properties for finishing off the cards that I need to do. So that's why it's like, you know, because he was thinking, well, you know, he can hold on to them until Gamers of Winter, which is another few months away. It's like, Doug, I need them sooner than later. Because also, he said, oh, the Doug might stop by. It's like, no, he won't. Unless Barry might stop by. Barry would stop by only if his wife decided that, you know, that she didn't want to spend time with him, which I completely doubted. I was surprised that he even showed up at the convention just for the plain simple reason that I know that he had just come in on Thursday, and I figured his wife might actually want to see his lovely face, ugly face. So, but he was there. But anyway, I played some games, and I played a little EVE Online with Doug, and Doug got me introduced. He's like, hey, I need to do this, do this. You know, he went through some of the things. Why I even bring it up is plain and simple this. I've been thinking about, of course, SFU. Right now, I'm calling it SFU Adventure. Is what I'm calling it. I might change the name because I know originally I had SFU Ships, and this is kind of based off that to a certain degree. The concept of SFU Ships, which I've described before. But playing EVE Online gave me some ideas, which solved some of the problems that I was just thinking about. Because one of the things I was thinking about with this SFU adventure, this text-based adventure, is basically that how do you start turns, how do you end turns, you know, how do you basically play kind of SFB-like, FedCom-like, you know, online. And, you know, you can do it. I was just thinking about, okay, how do I do EA, on a command line interface like that. I'm going, you know, this is kind of difficult. So when he was talking about EVE Online, he talked about how it works to a certain degree, but more than that, you know, I looked at the interface, and just to let you know, I'm not even thinking about EVE Online, the interface, even trying to implement that. Now, actually, one of the funny things was, because I was talking to, I don't think it was Doug, I think it was Mike, because, you know, Doug, why he was trying to recruit me, because he needed some help, so like, you know, okay, I have Monday afternoon to train up and so forth, so I can help you out on Monday night, which I did. He didn't need my help, and we're willing to bet that's because of the people that were going to be attacking his corporation. They forgot that Monday night was a, basically a week, not weeknight, but a end of a holiday night kind of thing. So next day you're going to have to go to work. So, and on one of the bitches, some of those people have like wives or families and going, yeah, just one more thing. Or they might have had a party on Monday or whatever. And they just totally forgot about Eve. And it's like, okay, cool. Yeah, like, he showed up. They didn't show up. Great. Because I was still in the middle of trying to get my ship together, because I waited the last minute. And I thought, oh, okay, you know, I can finish this last training mission for the career agent. Because all the rest of them took like 5 minutes or so. But this one was taking like 20 minutes. And I still hadn't completed it. So I was like, I gotta stop this. And the funny part is, okay, I'm deep, and you know, I'm like four jumps away from where all my stuff is. So first thing I have to do before I can go to where I need to get fitted up for my ship that Doug gave me money for and everything I needed for, and we saved a template for what the ship was going to look like. So, okay, fine. So I first have to go back four jumps, which takes a little bit of time to get to that. Then from there, I have to do four more jumps to get to the home world, where I can actually buy the stuff I need to buy to set up my ship. And then after that, then I could actually go see him, which I'm not sure where it was, which is, according to him, basically he's on the other side of the territory of the corporation that I'm currently aligned with, which is Amarr. Amarr? I think it's probably Amarr. But anyway, so I was like, I'm willing to bet it was going to be like another 9 jumps or something like that. Something that's freaking just crazy, crazy number of jumps, I'm sure. And so by the time I would get there, everything would be over and that would be mad. But fortunately, that did not happen. But anyway, moving forward, when it comes to one thing I noticed, two things. One was when I was talking to Mike that night, Doug's friend, one thing he said, EVE Online wasn't always like it is. It wasn't all these fancy graphics and all that kind of thing. It was very basic at the beginning, which was, of course, I think they said it was built in like 2003 or 2004. I'd have to double check EVE Online history. There's a wiki page. There's a wiki page. It's probably a whole wiki website about EVE Online, and it has the history. And one of the things, my understanding for me, Mike, was it wasn't always this way. It was more basic at the time. Like, well, that kind of gave me an idea. I was like, oh, you know, that's cool to hear. But more importantly, the idea that I'm getting to, and sorry if I'm blathering on, to get to this point, the point is, okay, just want to double check. The point is that one of the things that really captured me was the idea of timed turns. So, the one. So let me just do this, and let's do this for the moment. So I'll let you guys see my screen so you can see what I'm talking about. Okay. I worked on a little bit of the gameplay for SFU Adventure. Yeah, I worked through some of those more details because, like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna be doing all this stuff. And actually, I did a little more work on it, which actually I implemented the range feature. And actually, it works quite nice. I might have to re-look at how I'm parsing the command line commands, but I'll get to that. At the moment, it's pretty good. What I probably should do is change the way I do it now, which is I have it so that the command itself parses the command. And I probably shouldn't do that. I probably should just take the whole command and then parse it out. You know, okay here's the first thing is always going to be the command, and then parameters after that, and then have it so that then they can be more easily processed. Probably that's what I'm just thinking about it now. It's like that's what I should be doing. But anyhow, I'll probably work on that this weekend for redoing that, because I still can do it early on in the process. Even though what I probably should do is rewrite it. You know, it's one of those things that any good software, the first time you write it, is junk. Basically, you're doing a design. You're designing it while you're implementing it. And then after you learn from what you've done, then you rewrite it from scratch, and because you know of the pitfalls and so forth that you run into. So, given that, I probably should rewrite it at some point. At this moment, I think I'm early enough in the process that at least when it comes to parsing, I can fix that relatively easily. It's just the parsing itself. Now, I thought through the gameplay. One was the idea of time turns. That's the one thing that EVE Online has, which is the whole idea of timed turns. Everything is based on time. And so what I was thinking about doing, and I'm not sure how long ago it's been now. And that is, 10? More than 10 years ago, I think. Somewhere between 10 and 15 years ago. It's been a long time. It was when I first took over SFB Online. It's that not long ago that somebody had done the same idea, I think it was time-based turns. I think they also introduced the idea of time-based turns. Though, yeah, because the whole idea was that it was dynamic. I'm not sure if I'm confusing that with Starfleet Command. Because I know Starfleet Command, that's what they do. Yep. Yes, Chris. Chris is reading versus plasma once every other turn. And I think, yeah. But I'll get to that. And some of that's coming from the inspiration of the designer's edition of Starfleet Battles. So, wait with me. Now, okay, time-based turns. I'm not sure how much time I'm going to get for each impulse. Okay? That's one thing I have to put up here. But I'll mention it. But, okay, time-based turns. I'm not sure how long. Jeez. I was thinking about, the reason why I was thinking 6 impulses per turn at all was because that's what I originally thought of for SFU ships. But I might switch it to 8. 8 obviously is easier to implement in the case of taking what is currently available in SFB and FedComp and converting it. So that, you know, that makes it easier in that base. But the thing is, I still like the number six. I don't know why. It just feels right. So at the moment, I'll probably still stick with six. Now, you know, weapons, big surprise, fire once per turn. Photons fire once every other turn, save for plasma. Now, when it comes to plasma, this plasma is not plasma R's. The plasma that I'm thinking about initially anyway is plasma G's. Because remember, the one thing about this whole thing is it's going to be minimum viable product. The idea is that, as I pointed out here, right here, sorry for those people on the podcast, you have SFB and FedCom weapons, but we're going to limit the choices of the weapons that are available. Others, obviously, it's going to be limited by the choice of ships. And those ships are going to have certain weapons. The weapons that I'm going to make available are photons, disruptors, drones, plasma, and of course phasers. I didn't put phasers in here, but I should have put phasers. The systems I want to make available are the tractor beams, the transporters, and possibly the cloak. Cloak would be interesting to do because of the idea is, like Warp Factor, you're playing a Federation player. Your opponents will be from a different range of empires, from Klingons to Romulans. I was going to say Gorns, but I don't think Gorns. But the idea is that the enemies are the Federation. That's what I'm thinking. So at the moment, there's Klingons and Romulans, which also ties nicely into Star Trek. But anyhow, now, the plasmas, this is the one thing that I was thinking with the plasma. The plasmas are not the plasma R's. They're basically the plasma G's from the SFB Designer's Edition. Yes, these are not, quote-unquote, speed 32. These would be more of speed 20. So, in the case of six impulses, they move five of the six impulses. When it comes to the drones, that one I'm still debating on. I'm thinking right now of every other impulse. It's like impulse 2, 4, and 6 is when it moves. Now, also, when it comes to the drones and the plasma, when it comes to launching, it's, again, SFB Designer's Edition. You can only do it at one point in the turn, either at the beginning or the ending. And I haven't figured out if I'm going to just combine the two and have the launching of the drones happen at the beginning of the turn, same for plasma. Or maybe I might try to keep it the split, which I... what I would like to do is try that to begin with, where the plasmas, you can launch them at the end, and with comes to the drones, you only can launch at the beginning. So it takes that into consideration. Okay, this is one thing that also I grabbed from Eve, and that is, I call them Warlord-type ships in that you have numbers representing your current shield rating. I'm not going to worry about shield facings, at least initially. I might put this thing together and go, I really need to have shield facings. But to start with, I'm going to say no shield facings. Armor, most of the time, most ships will not have armor. Because, only armor ships in the initial SFB Designer's Edition was the Romulans and possibly the older Federation ships. I'm not sure if those were available in the Designer's Edition, because that was one thing that always was interesting to me, was the old light cruiser. Because, the old Federation light cruiser, which when it first was introduced, when it comes to SFB, not the SFB Designer's Edition, but later on, it was described as the Federation's heavy cruiser, that the initial heavy cruiser of the, you know, in like I think the early years, I think it was early or middle, I forget which, but definitely it wasn't General Error. Was that was the heavy cruiser. But then they produced the Constitution class, and after the Constitution class, it was then considered, okay, thank you, Chris. Chris mentioned it was early in the First Romulan War. At that point, it was relegated to from a heavy cruiser to a light cruiser, as soon as the Federation Constitution class came out. So, but you know, that was the only time I ever saw armor on a non-Romulan ship. So, yeah, so it does have that, and instead of having to worry about all the internals and so forth, it just has hit points. Now, this is from Warlord, to a certain degree. But what it is weapons available are reduced by the number of hit points available. So that depending upon your level of damage, because in Warlord, you've got certain levels of damage. You got light damage, which basically, you got, I forget what it is. I think it's up to 25%. I'm going to have to look at the Warlord to find out exactly what the number is. But I think that was a number. But anyway, that means basically you've got internals, but you got a fully functional ship. Then you have, I think it's like the light, heavy, and then dead. You know, I think between I have to double check, but I'm trying to do this off the fly, and I don't remember. I did not look at the rules. But the whole idea is that, okay, you have light damage, medium damage, and heavy damage. So from zero to light damage, you're fine. Or, you know, when you get to, you know, light damage goes all the way to like a third of the hit points available. From more than that to two-thirds is medium damage, and then anything after that is heavy damage. And there's no degradation up with light damage. Medium damage, you're degraded by possibly, like, let's say 50% of your weapons. And that would be an automatic thing. And I'd have to balance it out. Possibly, like, 50% of the heavy weapons, 50% of the phasers. You know? And then heavy damage, then I think you might just have phasers or something like that. Or maybe a phaser. You know, or possibly no weapons that are available at all. You're still alive, but you know, you'll have. And now this is not just for the player who's playing the Federation. This is also for the other ships, because the rules that apply to you are the same rules that apply to the computer. If you don't do that, then it's kind of cheating. Though, as one thing I definitely heard about the history of EVE Online, which is, of course, now this is back in the day, and that is that the, you know, since it's a MMO, massively online something. Anyway, it's a really big online game. So you got, of course, malcontents who are going in, and, you know, they actually, the quote-unquote police, they shot them up. not shaman. Well, they had it so they couldn't leave the system. In this case, it was the devs. So, they had to create these ultra power, but they're still within the mechanics of the game until they finally had to come up with the idea of what's called high sec and basically have ships that come down and kill you. Plain and simple, you can't kill them, they just kill you and you're dead. Plain and simple. So, but originally, all the ships on the EVE Online obeyed the rules. Well, until the kind of point where, for balance, to maintain order, for at least part of the game, a section of the game, they had to create these godlike ships. They just kill you. So, and I don't want that to be the case. What's the point? I want them to follow the same rules. And which means obviously they have to have the computer player be able to fight. The tough part about that, initially, obviously, a computer-based player for one-on-one, it's easy. Multiples, what you have to do is probably play it as one-on-one. They're not going to work together as number of ships, at least to begin with. If things go well and people actually are playing it, I would probably spend more time and work on multi-ship capabilities and actually working as a team and possibly even let the Federation player to have multiple ships, things like that. Obviously some of these commands like add, remove, those would go away. In a game, this is going to be probably left to being in there for diagnostic purposes only. So I can add ships and remove ships manually without having to programmatically add them. But that's for that. Oh, understood, Chris, but this is minimum viable product. Start with the Fed playing against everyone else. Then if it, after that works and it plays well, maybe at that point, and release that minimum viable product, make sure people actually are willing to play it, then move on forward and start supporting some of the other ships. Because the reason why I say possible, okay, I'm going to go back to this one, which is the possibility of cloak. And that is, here's the great thing about this when it comes to the cloak. For an opponent, the computerized opponent to use a cloak, they can do it. And it can move around under cloak. Obviously it can't fire weapons, but it can still see, but it can't fire weapons. And which means that I can have it so it gets removed from the board. And you don't know where that ship goes. And then it will uncloak. You see it and you get to shoot it. Obviously, one thing about when it comes to the cloak, assuming that I implement it at all, what I'm thinking about is that when you first uncloak, it can be fired at without penalty, but you can't fire back. For a certain number of impulses. I'm thinking about at the moment, of a 6-impulse turn, like 2 impulses. You can't fire for 2 impulses. Now, so that gives the person. I have to give the person either one or two impulses to fire or launch at that cloaked vessel. And of course, then there might have to be some limitations on the number of cloaks you can do. If you cloak in the turn, you can't uncloak the same turn. If you uncloak one turn, you can't recloak the same turn. You know, things like that. You know, where there's some limitations on it. Now, there's one thing you on the audio only feed won't see, but I'll mention it now, which is there is no energy allocation. So what that means is that you don't have shield reinforcement. You got weapons that fire, but you don't have reinforcement so that, you know, if you go slow, the only thing that slow does, it gives you a tactical advantage in that you can then not have to go as fast. The approach isn't as quickly. It does not give you any advantage when it comes to energy available to have for shield reinforcement. That's not there. So that was the one thing that I also looked at EVE Online and noticed, is that, okay, there's no energy allocation, and it makes the game very fluid, and I think that'd be great. Now, the tough part that I'm still thinking about, and it's one of those things that I'm willing to bet what I'm going to have to do, because I'm sticking to the idea of a command line interface. I'm sticking to that. And that is that how much time, because it's going to be a timed impulse, how much time do I give people to respond? You know, when it comes to movement, you know, I could easily have it so that if you move and your time is up, you just go straight ahead. It just goes straight by default. It just goes straight. There's nothing else you can do. Obviously, the one thing that would still need to be done is, even though it's pretty fluid, there still have to be a pause between turns to allow you to at least possibly set the speed. You know, I have to think about that at the moment. And that is, it can be simple enough. I can give you a time. Again, it can be timed between turns. Like, okay, between the last turn and the next impulse, you get the double amount of time that you normally have between impulses. So let's say you give each impulse 30 seconds. So you have 30 seconds to react to anything. You know, you have your opponents, and I'm not going to have to worry. I don't have segments, you know, impulse segments. So you don't have an order which you do things. It's just that, okay, you can either fire before or after movement. You know, if you can fire, you know, fire fast enough, you can fire before movement. If you want to, you can wait until after movement. You know, so it makes it a lot more fluid. But obviously, let's say it's 30 second impulses at the moment, and you say, okay, you wait for 20 seconds to move, which means that if it's another player, they might not have time to respond before this. So in theory, you could do a double move and before the person can fire. And that's possible. You know, obviously, I'm not worried about too much about that when it comes to initial layout. And also, since it's not going to be player against player, it's going to be player against computer at the moment. I'm not going to have it so that the idea is a single player game. That's the concept. It's, as I said, you know, it's like Warp Factor. If I want to go for something that's more multiplayer, you know, That might happen later on, but that's my vision for it at the moment, is single player. And you know, as pointed out before, the idea of warp factor. But the question, as I said, the big question is going to be timing. How much time do I give people? I'm thinking at the moment 30 seconds. 30 seconds is a long time. A lot of these commands should be able to enter fast enough. Now, obviously, some of this might go away. For example, fire, unit name, weapon abbreviation and letter at unit name. So it's possible you might say, you know, get rid of, you know, since you're only a single ship, the unit name goes bye-bye. It's default. And you just have to say what's your weapon and firing at who. You know, and if you're launching a seeking weapon, launching at who. And, of course, when it comes to drones and plasma, since it's at the beginning, at the end, you have to give yourself a little time to do that. And since you're starting out with single ships, with a single ship, 30 seconds should be enough for you to do anything. Now, well, one thing I'm thinking about doing also is the idea of what I call saved or kind of a macro idea. The idea is you have a certain number of commands that it may even take a single or a number of parameters that you can enter in. You can have it so that, let's say, I want to fire this weapon at at any unit I specify. So you can just say alpha fire or whatever you want to call it, and then give it a unit name, and then it'll be the substitution and all of those commands, all those fires, boom boom boom, you have three fires in less immediately instead of having to type them in for each and every one. So the idea, so that 30 seconds is very doable, is you just set yourself up before the game starts a certain number of macros. When it comes to, you know, I might support the idea of, you know, fire alpha at this unit, which is basically fire every single weapon you have at that unit. Now, the one thing that I have not contemplated at the moment, I'm thinking, not worrying about it, which is firing arcs. Obviously, that's something that's ingrained to SFB, but at the same time, it makes things a lot more difficult to do. That's why, you know, that's why, again, I want the whole idea of a single shield number. How much damage can I take? Now, here's the one thing that you know would be going to be interesting about this, which is, like warp factor, you're going to have to clear out a certain sector, or at least deal with whatever's in that sector. Now, it won't necessarily. The idea for me was that it would not necessarily mean destroy everything out there. Warp factor, that pretty much was it. That's my recollection. But I want it to be more interactive. I don't want it just to be a combat game. I want it so it's a little more, it's RPG with combat mixed in. You know, that's what I want from this. So in that case, to me, that means that resolution of a sector, you know, the issue with the sector, might mean actually, you know, coming up with a deal or something like that, you know, possibly even, have an idea of money, you know, number of credits. You've cleared out the sector, you get 10 credits or something like that. And then you, in the case of, you know, instead of fighting a pirate, you can bribe him. It's like, well, I'll give you five credits to not attack and just leave the sector. Okay. Now, that might be good or bad, you know, because, and that's when you could, it can be put in, because, you know, you could be, okay, you bribed a pirate, or, you know, that doesn't look good on your record. You've been relieved from duty. You know, let's say that maybe you do that one too many times, you know, like that kind of thing. You know, that's why I wanted to, that's the kind of game I wanted to be. Initially, obviously the initial implementation, the initial initial concept, you know, the initial implementation, the initial thing that I wanted to obviously focus on is going to be combat, just because of that is one thing that is easiest. It's going to require the most time to do, in my mind, versus some of the back end stuff. Obviously, the whole idea of decision trees when it comes to interactions and so forth, that whole kind of engine is something that I'd have to design. I got an idea, because I've built some state of, as I've mentioned in the past, it's been a while, so some of you have never heard this, which is, to me, my most, at the moment, actually there's currently two pieces of development that I've ever done that I'm most proud of. One is when I was first programming back in the, was it the 80s or the 90s? I think it was the 80s. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the 80s. In fact, I'm positive it was in the 80s. Because that's when I was first doing C in DOS. And that is, one thing that I was most proud of was I created these set of C macros. And what it did was, it was something really dumbly simple. But it's one of those things that I was really proud of, which is I implemented queuing. You know, macros that did queuing. The whole idea is that you have an array, and then you have a pointer, and then you could go add things to the queue or subtract things from the queue, to get things off the queue and so forth. And that queue could then would actually just give it a certain size. The queue would be a certain size, and then it would just wrap around, and you never have to. And I was really, that was one of my most proud moments, is that of doing that simple. Today's like, that's simple. It's like, yeah, but have you ever done it from scratch to build up queuing? You know, and this is C macros is what it was done, and that's, I guess that's why what makes it to me one of my proudest moments, because I did it all in macros. That was one of the things. The other one that I'm really proud of is the state machine that I added in for Federation Commander Online. In that, the state machine that is currently implemented to do all of the energy allocation and so forth for weapons. You know, how much energy go from this state to this state does it take? What states are available? All this kind of thing. That's one of those things that I'm really, really proud of that I've done in the past. And so the reason why I even bring that up is that when it comes to decision trees, when it comes to the interactions and how a campaign, how a game would be run, when it comes to different challenges from different sectors and so forth, and having to actually is a coherent, well, not even, doesn't have to be really coherent. Well, if you want it to be coherent so that it's kind of an adventure kind of thing, is that interaction, interactive fiction coming here. And that is, so it would be a different, it would be basically be a state diagram. Now, the question is, what responses would then, you know, would it then produce what output? So from this state, given a response, when the current state is this one block here, What responses relate to what state, and what state then relates to what given that response, which could be, let's say that a positive response, which could mean the word yeah, yep, yes, yeah, if you want to, even da, things like that. And say, okay, those are all positive responses. All those lead to the next state, which was the positive response, or nope, nope, no, niet, what, pick a language. Sorry. That would then go to a different state. And any other response could be one of two things. You could either stay at that state, because give a valid response, or even have a different response. The idea was like maybe, which then there might be another state. Now, the question is, what is attached to that state? Is it just text? Is it, because when it comes to dialogue, it would just be text responses. But in the case of a campaign, or outcomes and how that goes to the next state. So, it could have so that you have different sectors and it goes along the storyline, which that's no big surprise. That's how a lot of games run these days, where, you have to accomplish this and accomplish this and accomplish this. Now, obviously, you have different, if you have different sectors, which are quote unquote different scenarios, you can then, depending upon the outcome of the scenario, you can go to a different scenario, whether that is, obviously, if you get killed, well, that ends the whole game. But if they say you do really good and there were three opponents, you killed two, but then you had to flee the sector. Okay, so you killed two out of three. Okay, so you killed all three. Okay, and succeed, then you warped out. Things like that, where you actually, then you have to depend the state or the next scenario. So, I've done that before. I can do that. I know how to implement that. So, it's knowable. It's a lot of work, because the tough part about that is not the writing the code to implement the stage, the states and the responses and all that kind of, that's not the hard part. The most of the work is the data for each of the things. Because if you ever, I know I never shown it, but I've got this big file, which I got list the different for each weapon. I had to list the different states of that weapon, and depending upon the state of the weapon, that has itself, you can do certain things at certain times in the turn, because you can change the different states using different amount of energy based on the place in the turn. Is it the energy allocation? Is it during the turn, or is it at the end of the turn? And depending upon where you are in those three, because in the case of photons and like Hellbores, I think there might be some other ones, you can do things at the very end of the turn. In the case of photons, you can finish like the overloading or something like that. And and there's also, of course, the pre-turn. Before, at the starting of the game, when it comes to Hellbores and photons, you can say, okay, I want to use up all my energy and do that, and that's only for certain weapons. So, it's a challenge, but it can be done. I've done it before. So, that I see as doable, and I want to work on this some more this weekend. I probably will work on this some. I might even play maybe a little more Eve. Go through the career path for exploration. I'm also going to be spending 2 to 3 hours traveling. one Saturday because it's going to take me at least an hour to get to Doug's house. And the problem with visiting Doug is a talker. So extricating myself from his premises in a timely fashion is going to be a challenge. So just have to wait and see. And of course, I'm one of those people, I'm willing to listen. Always willing to listen. Well, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.